This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, with David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. It is 1965, August 21st, a liftoff from Cape Canaveral. Two men on board. This is the early days of the American manned spaceflight. The men on board are on a craft called Gemini 5. It is a mission on the march to the moon. This is deep in the Cold War. 1965 saw the deployment of the U.S. Marines to Da Nang Air Base at the beginning of the buildup in the Vietnam War. Lyndon Johnson was president. Civil rights was in turmoil that summer and would be for many years afterward. However, the Gemini program, successor to the Mercury program, was a bright moment in everybody's day. We did not hear reporting on our iPhones. We heard reporting on AM radio at best. And then what happened? I welcome Rob Goodwin, who is the publisher of Apogee Books, apogeebooks.com, to help me understand what Gemini 5 meant then and what we know about it now. Rob, a very good evening to you. Gemini 5 is a perfect liftoff. And then it's a nearly 8-day mission. And then good evening to you, Rob.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me. Well, Gemini 5, it was supposed to be 8 days in space. That was the plan, to see if they could actually keep astronauts in orbit long enough to get to the moon and back. And to do that, they had to come up with an entirely new kind of fuel power system for the spacecraft, something they hadn't done before. All the previous flights had run on batteries. And in this case, they were going to use hydrogen and oxygen gases and mix them together in what was called a fuel cell, and use that to power the spacecraft because it was lighter than batteries. So that was the plan, and they had a raft of experiments to do. Gordon Cooper, Mercury veteran, was going to be the commander, and Pete Conrad, who later on walked on the moon, became his co-pilot.
The liftoff was very successful. Were there any glitches early on, Rob, or was everything nominal?
Well, they did have a few glitches during launch. They had an episode of what's called POGO, which is when the fuel is sloshing around inside the rocket and it causes an imbalance during the launch. This was something that came back to haunt them later in some of the other missions, some of the early Saturn missions for the moon. But this is one of those exercises in learning where they learn how to deal with POGO. And once they got past that, they made it to orbit. And then from that point onwards, they were supposed to spend 8 days up there, but problems just kept piling on top of them.
David, you have a question for Rob.
Sure. They did have quite a few problems. Did any of those problems turn out to be detrimental to the march to the moon, or did they overcome them, or they weren't that significant maybe?
None of them were detrimental, David. All of them were educational. They pretty much learned something new from all of them, and that was the whole purpose of the mission, was to try and figure out what was going to go wrong if they tried to go to the moon later. And so they were really trying to figure out how to rendezvous in space using space-borne radar. They had a radar on board, and that was going to allow them to find the other spacecraft and rendezvous with it. This was essential. They knew it was essential to being able to get to the moon. They had to be able to find other spacecraft in space. Another thing they had, another problem they had, was the thrusters were freezing. And so when they realized what had caused the thrusters to freeze during the Gemini 5 mission, it's believed that that actually saved the Apollo missions later, because they were able to improve the thruster systems so that Apollo didn't have those problems.
The size of the Gemini cabin is described as the front seat of a Volkswagen Beetle. Now, that's an old-fashioned metaphor. It's not much room, which is why I believe Conrad is given credit for saying eight days in a garbage can. This can be a series of challenges to the crew. But as you say, Rob, they were learning. They were learning about radar. They were learning about drifting in space, about longevity. And so now that it's many decades later, can we now assess this mission as a success because of all those glitches, all those obstacles they overcame?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they had radar failures with the ground multiple times. And in fact, one of those failures proved that the tracking was off by about 140 yards at a 1,000-mile distance. That would have translated into 20 miles off course at lunar distance. So those kinds of little tiny glitches in the tracking systems that they discovered during Gemini 5 saved them from a catastrophe with Apollo a few years later.
And we're looking at them learning in real time. There was no digital universe. Everything was done almost with a slide rule. That's 1965. Except in space, that doesn't work so well, so you have to pencil it out. Did they have what we would call an onboard computer, or were they counting on ground control, Rob?
They did have an onboard computer. It was very, very rudimentary, and it was early days. It was cutting edge for its time. But things like they had a line of bad code entered into that computer that caused them to have an 11-minute blackout during the mission where they couldn't communicate with the ground just because of one line of bad code. So it gives you some sense of really how primitive it was at the time.
David?
In terms of preparing them, almost 8 days, it's just a few hours short of 8 days, I guess, to be able to go to the moon. What did they learn about endurance, their ability to be in microgravity for that length of time, to keep their wits, to, you know, not go star crazy or stare crazy?
There was a whole raft of things that they learned from the medical side of point of view, David. The suits were very cold especially during the nighttime sleeping periods when they were asleep. They got down to about 50 degrees Fahrenheit, which was causing the astronauts to shiver. So that was a major problem that they had to deal with later. They also found out that the cramped confines of the Gemini spacecraft, which, as John pointed out, was the size of a small car inside a small car, that proved to be difficult for them. And when they came back to Earth, they found that they had an increased level of bone demineralization and cardiovascular issues. I mean, the crew were healthy and safe, but because they'd been in such confined quarters and cramped in cold conditions for almost 8 days, that was something that, you know, we learned a lot from very, very almost immediately from that mission.
My memory is that there were sleep problems. I learn now there were profound sleep problems. They couldn't sleep. They were supposed to sleep alternately. They wound up trying to sleep at the same time. But when you're freezing, it's very difficult to get deep sleep. Did NASA compensate for that in subsequent missions, the sleep problem, Rob?
They did try to, John. Part of the problems that they had with Gemini 5 was the brightness of the sunlight coming through the windows made it very difficult not only to sleep but also to see the control system sometimes, because you go from this intensely bright sunlight to very dark shadow, and that played heck with their sleeping problems. Later on with the Apollo missions, that there's a lot of data had been accumulated from the Gemini program, which allowed them to sort of program into the mission who was going to sleep when and where they could sleep. And oftentimes on Apollo, they would sleep beneath the couches so that the light wasn't coming in the windows.
David?
They obviously were prepared as test pilots that they're going to face some unknown issues. Were they at all prepared for what they experienced, what happened, and were they really quick to their wits to solve problems, or did ground control solve the problem?
Well, David, because the fuel cells failed early in the mission, they didn't fail completely, but they had serious problems with them. They had to power down the spacecraft and operate with very limited amounts of power for a big portion of the mission. And so consequently, they were almost all the time having to make on-the-fly decisions, the crew were, to decide what to power up when, how much to power it up, when to fly manually and try and steer the craft into a better attitude. These were all things that they pretty much had to do to a great degree without any help from the ground. Having said that, the ground was monitoring the situation on board, particularly the power situation, and almost day by day were deciding whether they were going to let them stay up longer. At first, they thought they might have to bring them down after the first day. But as you know, they made it almost for the entire 8-day mission by this trading backwards and forwards of who was going to actually make the decisions, the ground or the crew.
Rob Goodwin. Robert Goodwin is the publisher of Apogee Books, apogeebooks.com. Gemini 5 landed, although even the landing, a computing error, they landed 80 miles short of their planned landing point, but they returned safely on the march to the moon. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. This is Hotel Mars Episode N. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.